So, let me see your hands. Wow, look how many are volunteering. So, by show of hands, don't blurt it out, but by show of hands, how many of you can quote Matthew 6:33? Now, there's about 20 of you that were here the other night and got advance warning on this. I challenged you to memorize that before this morning. And you didn't do it. You forgot. Sherry. No. You're sitting there waving your hand at me. Well, tell me what it says. That's close. That's close. Somebody else. Come on. You're grown-ups here. Don't make me call on you, David.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you.
Very close. All right. Do you have it in your Bibles yet? I mean, it's up here, and I told you what it was. Did you find it yet? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. Don't seem like a big deal, does it? Just a few words. Seek first the kingdom of God. The word that's translated seek there means to aim. Back up one slide, Ronnie. That's why I used this particular picture for that. Take aim. Seek after. Strive for. Take aim for the kingdom of God. Let that be a focus point. So then, with that being said, I would ask you the question, what is the target of your life? What is the target? Do you have one? Don't worry about that. He's about 5 minutes ahead. Do you have a target? I think for most of us, the target in our lives changes from time to time with different periods of life. You know, if you're under 18, probably the target is to get out of school, to finish school. Or maybe the target becomes start a family or to raise my children successfully or raise successful children. Or maybe the target becomes provide for my family or possibly provide for retirement. But Jesus says the target for our lives should be seeking the kingdom of God, should be aiming for the kingdom of God. That means we should be seeking for God to rule or to have control of our lives. Let me say that again. We should be seeking for God to rule or have control of our lives. Let me ask you, how's that working out for you this week? Some days, better than others in this category, I find. How much of our lives, how much of your life are you consciously allowing God to be in control of? We should be seeking the spread and the advancement of His kingdom, both in our own lives and the lives of those around us and the life of our nation. We should be seeking the spread and advancement of His will, both in our own lives and the lives of those around us and in the life of our nation. We should be seeking the spread and the advancement of His rule, His control, both in our own lives, the lives of those around us, and the life of our nation. So, as a church, let me tell you that you are doing that. You have been doing that. You continue to do that. And let me give you some examples. You are seeking God's, the advancement of God's kingdom when you gave more than $1,500 last Christmas season to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and international missions through the cooperative program. That's part of seeking His kingdom and the advancement thereof. You're seeking His kingdom and the spread of His kingdom when you packaged up with gifts for children 74 plus boxes, shoe boxes to send to children all around the world. That's seeking the advancement of His kingdom. You were seeking the advancement of His kingdom when you gathered up and spent more than $1,200 for local children last Christmas. Seeking the advancement of His kingdom. You were seeking the advancement of His kingdom both in January and then again this month, when each time you gathered up hundreds of dollars worth of school supplies and took across the street to the elementary school for children that needed them. By the way, thank you so much for donating backpacks and school supplies and clothing to Lena Vista Elementary School. Because of your generosity, many of our students are off to a great start this school year. We truly appreciate all you do for our kids. As you seek the advancement of the kingdom of God, you were seeking the advancement of the kingdom of God when you put together more than $1,600 last Easter and gave that to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions. You were seeking the advancement of the kingdom of God this summer as you organized and conducted not one but two block parties for the kids in our community. You were seeking the advancement of the kingdom of God when you prepared and conducted what I believe was a fantastic vacation Bible school that was aimed at teaching both children and adults. You're seeking the kingdom of God on a weekly basis as you provide transportation to those in our community who would like to come to church here but don't have a way. You're seeking the kingdom of God this week as you have sent out into this community. I want you to catch this. As you have sent out to God or in this community invitations to 960 plus homes, inviting them to come and join you for a free meal on Saturday afternoon. But understand that we're inviting them to come and join us for a free meal on Saturday afternoon, so that maybe by chance we might be able to tell one or two of those 900 plus people how much God loved them when Jesus died for them, and just maybe see somebody get saved out of that. But whether you see that or not, you're seeking the kingdom of God in the process that you are doing. And as you do all of these things that we've been talking about, plus others, you're seeking the kingdom of God as you take advantage of the opportunity that God provides to you to either pray with them or tell them about God's great love through Jesus Christ. This is seeking the kingdom of God community-wise as a church. And yet you do the same things in your own lives. You see, seeking the kingdom of God. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in well-doing." You know, it gets tiring sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, I forgot to tell you. You're seeking the kingdom of God as every single week, with few exceptions, 20 to 30 plus of you gather together on Tuesday mornings and give away anywhere from 6 to 10,000 pounds of food. And you sit with people and pray with many of them as opportunity presents itself. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Paul had been talking about those who are lazy, those that are undeserving, those that take advantage of other people's kindness and generosity. And the message in this verse is not to neglect the truly needy because you get tired of those that take advantage of you. Hear me, church. As we seek the kingdom of God, we should rather give aid to 100 undeserving people than to miss one who is truly needy. Yes. We should rather desire to help 100 who have no need and who are taking advantage than to miss the one who has great need. Seeking the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, not only seek the kingdom of God, but seek His righteousness. What does that mean to me, to seek the righteousness of God? I think it's easily summed up with this statement: seeking for personal conformity to His standard of righteousness. Striving for personal conformity to God's standard of righteousness. Am I going to get there? Not today. I hope I'm more close. I'm closer to being there today than I was 10 years ago. I hope I'll be closer to being there tomorrow than I am today. Growing in His likeness. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There is a great difference between God's plans and the plans of man. You think? There is a great difference between the actions of God and our actions, collectively and individually. There is a great difference between the righteousness of God and the righteousness of us. Isaiah 64:6 says, "For all have become like one who is unclean, and all our unrighteous deeds are like a polluted garment." King James says, "filthy rags." But yet we are to strive to aim for, to seek after His righteousness in our lives. Now, in case nobody has let you know yet, and you have been living with your head in the sand for the last 2.5 years, we are in a season when elections are coming pretty soon. Are you as tired of it as I am already? And when we think about voting for presidents or a president, one of the most common sentiments I've heard expressed this whole year has been, "How do I vote for either one of them?" Especially from the hearts of a Christian, I hear that. I will not attempt to tell you who to vote for. But I will do this. I will tell you that when you're trying to decide who to vote for, defer to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek his righteousness." Amen. Start by conforming, start your process of decision making by conforming to a biblical standard, which means that I must ask myself some questions. If I am seeking God's righteousness for my life, the lives of those around me, and the life of my nation, can I vote for somebody who supports abortion? Can I vote for somebody who supports same-sex marriage? Can I vote for somebody who supports the LGBT agenda? Now, lest you think I'm stuck on one place there, let me tell you that that's no different and would be no different than supporting somebody who wants to make armed robbery and murder legal. There's no difference from a biblical standard. You see, sin is sin, and when it comes to electing governmental officials, we at least should compare their statements and their values with God's standard of righteousness and vote for the ones who at least appear to have some kind of concern with biblical values. Yes. Yes. Now, I can tell you right now, there's not either one of the two of them that I prefer to vote for. I will vote. And I will vote for one of the two of them. The other thing, and I think it's especially important. I think it's especially important this year as we vote for a president. Our next president will quite likely have the opportunity to appoint 2, 3, 4, or maybe even 5 Supreme Court justices. And so one of the questions that I must ask is the candidate I'm going to vote for more likely than the other one to appoint justices with biblical values? Seek ye first his righteousness. I think we get this confused so much. I think that we live so much of our lives like we think God has been created to meet our standard. And to keep us happy. You know, we call on him the most when we need or when we want something or when we are hurting or when somebody we love is hurting or when we think we're being treated unfairly. And why would he allow that to happen to me? Too much of the time we live our lives like we think God's other name is Santa Claus and not Jehovah. But the reality is man is made for God and not God being made for man. Man is made to glorify him. To come into his presence and worship him. To live lives that honor him. Four young ladies won a couple of races this week at the Olympics. And the first time they won, one of the reporters' first question was, well, how did you prepare for this special race? And the immediate answer was, we got together and prayed. And when the race was over and they had won it, the camera went to them and they were gathered round in a huddle praying, and you could hear them thanking Jesus. And that was so expected that the cameraman was ready the next time they won a race, because this time when they won the race, the camera angle was such that it was looking up in their faces as they were bowed over together praying, thanking Jesus. Living lives that glorify King Jesus. For all the world to see. We are made to love him. For him to be the most important thing in our lives. And to serve him. To do his bidding. You don't know what God wants you to do? Talk to him and listen. Read and hear. He'll tell you what to do. And it's fun stuff. You got to wrap your arms around other people and tell them Jesus loves you. You got to go to people that are hurting and sit down with them and hold their hands and pray and invite God to work miracles in their lives. You got to take a part of what God has poured out on you, and He don't ask for all of it. He just says, bring me 10% of it back. Get to serve Him. We get to praise Him. A mighty fortress is our God. Or, oh, how He loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. We get to live in fellowship with Him. I will never leave you or forsake you. Literally says, you will not be orphaned. I love it. And we get the privilege of doing His will. Yes, we are made for God and not Him being made for us. The true order, as we listen to what Jesus said here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The true order of our lives ought to be God, others, and self. Our life ought to be about God. And then when we get done being focused on God, if we get there, we ought to focus on somebody else. He says, consider their needs more important than yours. Consider their life being more important than yours. He says, if you have to, you can worry about yourself on the end line. But by the time you get done with God and others, you ought not be having anything to worry about. Another way to say this is our lives ought to be about righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Righteousness. We ought to be spending our days conforming to the values of the great I am. And then duty. Going into the highways and the byways, compelling them to come. And as you're going, teaching them all the things that He has commanded us. I think if we're taking care of responsibilities, righteousness, and duties, pleasure's just going to be overflowing. You know? Just going to overflow. And then He makes you a promise. He makes you a promise. Right in the middle of those few words. Seek ye first the kingdom of His God and His righteousness. And you're going to have everything you need. We will have what we need. All these things will be added to you. In the previous verses, Jesus had been talking about not worrying about the essentials of life because God, my Father, already knew exactly what I need, when I needed it, and how much of it I had to have. He already knew that. Now, I understand that there are things of this life that claim our attention, and rightly so. There are things that we need to be concerned about. I didn't say worry about, I said concerned about. But I also understand that the things of this life, the things of our own lives, ought to be secondary and not primary. When we are engrossed in seeking God rule and God righteousness, He says, I'm going to dump out on you everything else that you need because I've got this. I've got a plan. Paul said, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His righteousness and glory through Christ Jesus. You find that in Philippians 4:19. Do you hear that? Do you hear the Word of God saying you cannot need anything God's not going to give you? Lizzie, I'm glad you're awake. Did the rest of you hear that? You can't need anything God's not going to give you. That's not a maybe-so thing, and that's not an every-once-in-a-while thing. That's a promise. He says, I will supply your needs. Now, Jerry, that don't include that new boat you've been wanting. You don't need that rascal. It don't include that new Chevrolet or Ford or Cadillac. It includes the things that I need in life to honor Him and to glorify Him and to praise Him and to allow Him to have control of who and what I am so that the kingdom of God is advanced in my life and the life of those around me and truly in the life of the nation in which I live. You see, Jesus is saying here, ask for great things, and the small will be added to you. Ask for heavenly things, and the earthly is going to be poured out. You get all you need. So that brings us to a time of questioning and introspection. Wait a minute, I've got all that time left. I ought to preach for another 30 minutes. No, I'm done. Will you allow God's ruling in your life to be the target of your life? Will you take aim at God ruling your life? Will you strive for personal conformity to His standard of righteousness? And that doesn't mean, okay, nobody's looking, and go do it. That means, will you strive for God's standard of righteousness to be your standard of living? And finally, if you're sitting here with us this morning and you've never come to the place of receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never confessed your sin, you've never invited God to save you, you've never invited Jesus to take over your life, would you do that right now? Would you make that step this morning? Just a few short words is all we've said this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I love what Luke says as he adds to that. As he records this same thing, the same teaching. I love what he says when he says, when he records where Jesus said, "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give them to you." Not only will God give you all that you need, but it pleasures Him to do that. Got that? It pleasures Him to give you the things that you need to have. Wow. Richard, that's just like when you give those grand boys something, how much pleasure that gives you. It pleasures God to give to you. Pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you for fulfilling your promise and meeting with your people today. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for teaching us and drawing us. Thank you, God, for instructing us. But most of all, thank you for Jesus. And I pray not one would go out of this place without Christ as Savior. That they might, if they need to be saved today, that they might come and pray and receive Christ. If there are other decisions in the house that need to be made, God, I pray that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and respond to what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen.